You're listening to Moody Radio 89.3, and this is Mornings with Eric and Bridget.
I know sometimes pastors say it's hard to know exactly what to preach about on Mother's Day. Well, Pastor Ray Fowler has actually compiled a resource from several different Mother's Day messages, and we're taking a look at famous mothers in the Bible, Eric.
All right, yeah, we looked at the list you had. Okay, let's start here. First off, this is the Understanding God's Word series. And within the series, you've got this famous mothers in the Bible. And I saw Eve, and then I went down the list and went, there's no Mary. So there has to be more to this than just what meets the eye here in this first volume, right?
Absolutely. In fact, that's one of the main questions I get on this. Like, people go, where's Mary? And that's because this is volume. I'm not hating on Mary. This is the first volume of two books. There'll be another one with another 12 mothers, and that will finish off the Old Testament and then do the New Testament. So Mary has a very special chapter coming up, a special message for her.
Mm-hmm. All right, so the very first mother, obviously, is where you begin. And I guess what is going to be helpful for us to understand is that as we look at their lives, there's things that we all can learn, right?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yep. And yeah, so Eve, mother of all the living. Eve's name actually means life or living. Adam's name means ground. It's a reminder that we're headed to the ground. You speak Adam's name, you think death. Hmm. You speak Eve's name, you think life. And she's the mother of all the physically living. We all trace our descent back to her. She's the mother of all the spiritually living. You know, we see two lines coming out from Adam and Eve, a line of godliness and righteousness, those who seek God and follow after him. We see a line of those who don't care about God, and she's the mother of all the spiritually living. And then we have that wonderful prophecy, the seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent. And so ultimately she's the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one in the line who will come and save us all.
How does she encourage us today, I guess? How does Eve encourage moms today?
Yeah, so when we look at Eve, we see God's plan in her life that, long before Christ ever came, God had his plan in place. And so when Adam and Eve, they sin, and right away God is there, and instead of calling her the mother of all the dead, she's the mother of all the living. Mm-hmm. God says, I've got this. And he covers them with his sacrifice and reminds us that he has our lives in his hands as well.
That's probably one of the more well-known mothers that you talk about. But there is one on this list that I was like, I'm not sure I'm familiar with her story. That's the 12th one, Rizpah, the grieving mother.
Rizpah.
Yeah.
And Rizpah is an often forgotten mother. She is a grieving mother. She lost her children. Mm. And parents who've lost their children also often feel forgotten. Not just in the Bible, but sometimes in the church. Sometimes it's hard for them to come to church on Mother's Day.
Yeah.
And so this was actually the hardest message to preach. And even a couple months before I preached it, I reached out to our church family and spoke with people and said, I'd like to hear your stories. And over the next months or so, people wrote me emails. They wrote me letters. We sat down in my office. They just shared their story about their child, and that really helped me preparing for the message to understand Rizpah and her pain. Rizpah had two sons, Armoni and Mephibosheth. God gives us their names; they're important. And she first of all, it's a story of loss, and it's been said a wife who loses a husband is called a widow, a husband who loses a wife is called a widower, a child who loses his parents is called an orphan. But there is no word for a parent who loses a child. Mm. And that's just how terrible that loss is. It's a story that speaks of honor. Her sons were not only taken from her, they were executed. They were left on a hill to be exposed. And Rizpah just goes out there and she watches over her sons for months, just honoring them and remembering them. And her actions teach us that it's important to grieve. It's good to remember. It is right to honor. And then it ends on a note of hope. Her actions make a difference, and her sons are given a proper burial. And of course, the New Testament gives us the greatest hope. Our hope is in our Lord Jesus Christ and in the resurrection. And so, Rizpah has a special part in my heart. Mm-hmm. God provides comfort for grieving parents.
Why is that special to your heart?
Well, a lot of it was because speaking to the people in our church and hearing what they've gone through and how God has sustained them and the hope that they have in Christ through that. In fact, at the end of the message, I'd asked the parents' permission for this. We took some time in the service to speak each of those children's names before the Lord, remembering them before God and honoring them and remembering them before Christ.
Wow. Mm. That had to be special and painful all at the same time, which leads me to my, by the way, we're talking to Ray Fowler, senior pastor at Plantation Community Church in Plantation. What do we do as church members when that happens, that loss, that painful grieving loss? How do we effectively or serve those parents well? How do we do that?
Yeah, so one of the things that really came out in talking with people and then also just studying Rizpah's story in the Bible is that remembering. You know, a lot of times a parent loses a child and we're almost afraid to speak the name of that child.
Correct.
And so then that's that forgetting instead of remembering. And, you know, a grieving parent, you know, they remember their child every day and they want you to remember them with them. And so don't be afraid to speak the name of the child. Don't be afraid to reach out. Don't be afraid to share stories if the child was older of remembrance. And then, you know, obviously in the early stages of that grief, just practical ways of reaching out, you know, helping out with chores or around the home or with meals. We do that as a church. You know, most churches do, you know, send meals out to help people as well.
Yeah, it sounds like just helping to minister in practical ways. Sometimes it's just being there, you know, maybe it's a hug, maybe it's a kind word, but yeah, walking alongside people. All right, so one of the other mothers you mentioned is the praying mother. Who's this and what's her story?
So Hannah, the praying mother. And, you know, Hannah's another one that, you know, your heart just goes out to. She was, you know, she was a mother who just longed to have a child, and she brought it all to God in prayer. And there's actually two prayers of Hannah. We have her prayer of despair in 1 Samuel chapter 1, but then we have her prayer of triumph in 1 Samuel chapter 2. Mm. And in chapter 1, that prayer really models for us in some very beautiful and meaningful ways. You know, she's hurting, she's barren, she longs to have a child, she goes to the temple, and she just pours out her heart to God in prayer. And in the book, we look at how she shows us honesty, earnestness, fervency, and humility in prayer. And then also how she's changed by prayer. Long before she receives an answer to her prayer, she receives something better. She finds peace in God. She knows God has heard her prayer. She leaves it up to him. And then you go to chapter 2, and now you've got a whole different prayer, a prayer of triumph. And you know, God's answered the prayer. Where does she go? She goes back to the temple, goes back to the temple to prayer. And in her prayer of triumph, she proclaims there's no one like God. She says God is the one who humbles and exalts. God sovereignly rules over everything in the world.
Yesterday, we were talking to somebody about prayer, and they mentioned how we need to be praying not just this is what I need or this is where I'm at, but be praying for I see what you're going to accomplish. And we sometimes get stuck in the moment and lose heart because we don't look at what the Lord will be accomplishing in our lives. And I think we see that in her prayers, don't we?
Absolutely. You know, her whole story teaches us that God accomplishes his purposes through prayer. It doesn't mean God's always going to answer our prayers the way we want him to. That'd be nice sometimes, or maybe not so nice because God knows better, right? But it means that when you pray, you are participating with God to fulfill his purposes in your life and in the world, and that's so much better.
Yeah. And I love that she was willing to just pour out her heart no matter what. You know, I mean, even the priest thought, okay, you must be drunk or something because of how you're pouring it out. But she was unafraid to lay it all out before him. And even that she was reconciled to God, whatever your will is, before she ever received the answer was just so powerful to me.
Absolutely. Completely agree. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we as we were preparing for this, we said, okay, who's the obvious one? That's Eve. Who's the unknown one? And that was Rizpah. And then we said, okay, what are a couple interesting ones? So that was Hannah. I picked as an interesting one Leah, because you say that's the unloved mother, and that's just another painful story, isn't it?
And that's the thing is when you study these mothers in the Bible, I mean, these are real people. These are human beings, and, you know, in all of their stories, there's something going on there. And Leah was an unloved mother. It caused her so much pain. Jacob favored Rachel over Leah. The Bible says most likely because of her physical appearance. Jacob marrying both sisters, he brought strain into all of their relationships. And some of the lessons that we learned from Leah's story is, you know, first of all, don't put all of your emphasis on physical appearance. God doesn't put it there. God looks at the heart and godly character. Don't let anything interfere with the marital bond. And that certainly happens when you take on two wives. But yeah, yeah, there are other ways that we can do that today, and we need to be careful on that. And then very important, don't base your identity on your children. And that is so important, because as you look at Leah's story, she goes through just this long, tragic cycle of trying to win back her husband's affection through the bearing of children and even through the various names she picks for her children. You can just see she's just trying to get all of this back because she's unloved. The good news is that when God is in the picture, there is no such thing as an unloved person. And so whether mother, father, husband, wife, or child, know that God loves you. You are loved.
And what about when she names one of her sons Judah, though? Isn't that such a powerful twist in her naming?
Yep. In fact, that's where she finally comes to peace. You know, all of the other ones have been all about her. She comes to Judah, which means praise, and she says, now I would just praise God. And she leaves it in God's hands, and she attains a measure of peace at that point. And then, of course, in God's providence, Judah is the line that will now, you know, bring us our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Mother's Day can be a really difficult day for a lot of people, but especially women, for whatever reason, when it comes to church. I know there are times where I know women say, I don't even want to go on Mother's Day. It can be a real sensitive time. How would you encourage either the pastor in the pulpit or the congregant who's hesitant to be there this Sunday?
Yeah, so absolutely. And you know, the best place to be is always with God's people and to be in the house of the Lord. And you know, whatever we're struggling with, whether we're just feeling like I'm a bad mother right now, or if we're struggling with grief or loss or infertility, you know, there's so many issues that make Mother's Day a difficult day for people. I would just encourage you to get out, you know, to be with God and His people. The message may be about mothers, it may not. You know, pastors do it in different ways, churches do it in different ways. And if it's just too hard to get out, you know, then you know, get together with some Christian friends and you know, share with them what you're going through so they can encourage you.
Well, the book is called Famous Mothers in the Bible, Volume 1. So there must be more on
Stay
the way.
Tuned.
But these are some interesting looks at mothers in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a really fascinating read. There's also some I liked just to mention in the pack of it when it comes to the grieving mother. We see a list of books and other ways that you might get more help too. So it's helping us look other directions also if there are other ways that you know, you could help need some help. So this is a really great resource. And Pastor Ray, thank you for coming in and talking through these with us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
If you want more information about Famous Mothers in the Bible, Volume 1, we've got a link to it at ericandbridget.org.
All right. We got just a second here. Who was your favorite one as you were going through these 12?
Oh, boy. I had a real heart for Hagar. Yeah, I guess I like the underdog. I don't know.
Yeah.
But you know, Hagar is the crying mother. You know, Sarah's the laughing mother. Hagar is the crying mother. And just how God reaches out to her so tenderly. Mm-hmm. And I guess there's never been a mother on earth who's not shed tears. Mm-hmm. But you know, God will wipe away those tears. Every wound will be healed. Every pain will be removed. Every tear will be dried, and crying mothers will cry no more.